Well, good day everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And today, or right now, is our Prophecy Reality Edition. And if you're listening live, it's 8 p.m. on a Tuesday night in the Pacific time zone, of course, 11 p.m. over on the East Coast there. So if you're listening live, give me a sound check if there's any problems. If not, I will assume that everything is working fine, including the video, the audio, and everything else. Well, what are we going to talk about today? Well, I wanted to talk about September 23rd, 2017 a little bit. So that's a topic that seems to be a date that everybody's excited about. And we'll talk about why you should or should not be excited about September 23rd, 2017. And we're going to talk about my newly released book, of which I don't even have a copy of yet in the paperback edition, but, and that's how new it is that I haven't even got a review copy yet, but I have it on the way. I was hoping it would show up, but it'll be here by next week. But you can order a copy right now, and actually you can get a copy for free, and I'm going to tell you how you do that. You go to my website, and that is crosstheborder.org, and there's a free ebook tab there, and we changed up the website. Let me put it on the screen there for everyone. We changed it up. I took off my fancy banner. I figured my website had enough color on it. And I've got four book covers here, so I have the prophecy books, that just a few of the prophecy books that we're offering. And on the left-hand side, you see over here whatever articles are trending. What's trending now is a flat earth or spherical earth seems to be pretty hot. People really want to know about. It seems to be getting hotter. Nephilim nonsense just jumped up there in the last couple days. Really old video that I did. I did a really good job in producing that. If I have to say so myself, one of the better video productions that I've done, but basically got no play or no attention, but it seems to be getting a little attention now after all these years. I think I published it in 2011 or something like that. And of course, always up there in the top 10 trending is The Empire of the City, The Unholy Trinity that rules the world. And let's see, and down here my latest publishing is, which is a portion of my latest book, which is over here, the When the Third Temple is Built, and we're going to talk about that a little bit today, the latest book that I have published, and how you can get a free copy of that by clicking on the free ebook tab. And many of you in the past have taken advantage of this free ebook tab there. And if you've already got The Rapture Will Be Canceled, well, just, you know, follow the instructions there. And all you have to do is one more step, because you're already subscribed. You already got a free copy of The Rapture Will Be Canceled. So now in order to get any of these other books, Key to the Apocalypse, which everyone should have in their library, The Last Prophecy, which everyone should have in their library, and now When the Temple is Built. This book is not what you think it is. It's unlike any other book that you have in your library. You're going to want to get a copy of this. And all you have to do is leave a review, okay, for The Rapture Will Be Canceled. And the link here to leave a review at Amazon. So if you're coming back, say, and then when you come back, just go down here and leave a comment, okay? And to leave a comment, you have to go all the way to the bottom to leave a comment there and say, I just reviewed your book, left a review on Amazon. Please send me the link to get whatever book you want. And we'll make sure you get a free e-copy of that for all of you people who support me just by subscribing and sharing. And if you want to support me with monetarily, well, you know, get to the contact page here and contact me and say, I'd like to support you monetarily. And, or you can support firstamendmentradio.com. The link to that page is right over here on the left where it says freedom of speech, press, thought, and religion. If you click on that, it'll take you to firstamendmentradio.com, and you can press the support button there. And also, if you're on our chat page right now, there's a support FAR button right below the video thing there on the chat page. So you can find a way to support First Amendment Radio. That will support my broadcast on First Amendment Radio. And you can give a tithe or an offering or whatever you want to do, whatever the Lord would have you to do. This is the only job I have. So, and I don't collect welfare, food stamps, socialist security, or any of those things. I forget not all of his benefits. And if I collect benefits from Caesar, then I would be forgetting God's benefits. And he says, forget not all of my benefits. So, and that's how you forget, man. You start getting benefits from the world, from the beef systems of this world. And as you know, the Roman world out there is the beast. Yeah, that's right. Okay. And the American or the USA is a beast too. And you can learn a lot about that by getting those four books that I was telling you about right there. You should get all of these in your library, all four of these books here. And if you go to my Get the Book, or you can purchase these too, go to the Get the Book page and you can get, yeah, there's a special deal there to get both of these. And or if you want a special deal on all four, say for $45, all four of these books shipped to you, well, contact me and say, I'm going to send you a money order. Who do I make it out to? And then I'll get in touch with you and tell you how to do that. And we'll ship you all four for, you know, whatever donation you want to give, really. As long as we can pay the printer. Because I don't have money to buy books. I don't have a printing press to print books either. So anyway, let's see. Okay, well, what else is in the news? Well, I did have this, and maybe I could play this again, and you might have heard this earlier if you were listening to First Amendment Radio, but I wanted to play this and maybe spark a little conversation. If you want to listen to this later, what I'm going to play right now, you can go to firstamendmentradio.com, and it's in the Generations Radio podcast for Monday. And this is the Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm just going to play the first few minutes of it.
It's Monday, January 23rd, 2017 AD. This is a special extended inaugural newscast for the Worldview. I'm Adam McManus. At a private worship service before Friday's inaugural activities, President-elect Donald Trump heard a sermon from Dr. Robert Jeffress, pastor at First Baptist Church in Dallas, who spoke from the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, reports Christian Headlines. Jeffress said that 1 year ago he had told Trump that he would be president and that it would be God who had elevated him to that position. Quote, as the prophet Daniel said, it is God who removes and establishes leaders, unquote. Dr. Jeffress explained his reasoning for speaking from Nehemiah. Quote, when I think of you, President-elect Trump, I am reminded of another great leader God chose thousands of years ago in Israel. The nation had been in bondage for decades. The infrastructure of the country was in shambles, and God raised up a powerful leader to restore the nation. And the man God chose was neither a politician nor a priest. Instead, God chose a builder whose name was Nehemiah, unquote. Remarking that, quote, God is not against building walls, unquote, Jeffress explained that Nehemiah led the people to complete Jerusalem's fortification in 52 days. Because Nehemiah completed that massive project in record time, Jeffress drew three principles which showed why he was so successful in building the wall and rebuilding the nation. Jeffress showed that Nehemiah did not allow critics to distract him, setbacks to stop him, and sought God's help to empower him. Within hours of hearing that sermon, Donald J. Trump took the oath of office and became the 45th President of the United States of America.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, observe, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So help me God.
Okay. Well, the thing I wanted to point to there is that this pastor said he talked to Trump before he ran and that God was going to elevate him. And all of that stuff about the builder. So, you know, it's something to think about. As I've been learning more about the Revelation and America's place in prophecy and more about the beasts, I'm starting to sort this thing out quite a bit. And it's becoming a lot clearer to me that's one thing that I kind of bring forth in my new book a little bit. And I feel another book coming on. Because, like I said, it's just becoming so much clearer to me. Thank you, Andrew. He says, quite interesting to be sure. And, yeah, that's why I wanted to replay that. And anyway, if you want to play that again, it's on the Generations podcast for Monday, and it'll be up there all week. Of course, it's on their website, and there's a link on the podcast player to their website if you want it later on. So make sure you take advantage of the podcast there at FirstAmendmentRadio.net. Okay. So I'm really feeling a lot more comfortable about our place in prophecy here on the North American continent, and specifically in the United States of America. America being the seventh beast of Revelation, the second beast of Revelation chapter 13, the only additional beast mentioned after the Roman Empire, being the fourth beast of Daniel, mentioned in chapter 7 or 8 of Daniel, and realizing that this beast, and I write about this, and both as an addendum to the key to the apocalypse, which addendum I put as the seventh chapter in my latest book also, because when I found the key to the apocalypse, I had actually taken a hiatus from writing. I got writer's block while I was writing when the third temple was built. And I thought, well, I have to dive in and research more because I have to find the end of this book that I'm writing. And I found the key to the apocalypse and I published it in the meantime and I wrote an addendum to it. And it just, because the key to the apocalypse, I got an education from writing this, from reading this Key to the Apocalypse, and it helped me to write the addendum to it, because as I say in the addendum to it, and right here, I'll read it to you, it says, since H. Grattan Guinness published the original Key in 1899, several events have become abundantly clear in the history of the Revelation. So H. Grattan Guinness wrote the Key to the Apocalypse in 1899. And so he could not see what happened beyond the horizon of time at the time he wrote the Key to the Apocalypse. Otherwise, he might have wrote the addendum himself. And I'm thinking he would have, especially if he had lived to, you know, to where I'm at over 100 years later. So I felt I took a little license, put an addendum in the key, and I updated a few minor other details in it, and some of the language was a little archaic. So I hope that everyone will enjoy this. And like I said, this is one of those books you can get a free e-copy of, and you can also order for your library. You should have that, this for your library. You should have The Last Prophecy, Horae Apocalypticae 2015 in your library. The Rapture will be canceled, should be in your library, and my latest book, When the Temple is Built. I should probably put all those in one volume. But anyway, email me or contact me about a special deal if you're short in funds and you want to get all those for your library. I'm sure I can work out a special, author's deal for you as far as getting those, sent to you at a substantial discount from what you'd have to pay, directly from, Amazon or Lulu Press. Okay. Let's jump into our next topic, and the topic I want to move on to is, And if you're listening live, anybody, it's Tuesday evening, 8:20 p.m. Come on over to the chat room. Join my two other faithful listeners there. And, you know, if only two people showed up, I don't know, it probably would break my heart that I'd stop doing this program. But it's all right, because what happens is that throughout the remainder of the week, 300 or 400 people will actually listen to this broadcast on the podcasts, rebroadcasts, and the several YouTube publishings of it. So I don't feel so bad that nobody shows up for a live broadcast here. And I'm thinking about moving it back to the morning. Since nobody seemed, I thought maybe people will show up in the evening. But more people actually showed up in the morning. I used to at least, you know, have 10 or 12 people in there in the morning. So I might go back to the mornings. I guess I'm going to have to. Why should I stay up late if nobody's going to come over and join us in the chat room? So I might move back to the mornings unless I get a lot of objections to it. So email me or leave a note on the Prophecy Reality tab on my website, crosstheborder.org, and say, no, I'll show up or whatever, or please move back to mornings, whatever your thoughts are on it. But this will be rebroadcast in the morning where I used to do it live. And, we do what we can. We try what we can. Okay, next topic. We're going to talk about September 23rd, 2017. What is going to happen? Big date. Everyone's throwing it around. And because I have learned my lessons from E.B. Elliott, The Last Prophecy, Hori Apocalyptica, 2015, and I understand the key to the apocalypse, H. Grattan Guinness, 1899. And I know that the rapture is going to be canceled, and I know that Daniel 70th week is passed, that it actually did follow the 69th week, right on time, just like God said it would. Okay? That this, all this thing about September 27th, that somehow these people believe that the rapture is going to happen. So I've got some graphics for you here. When you do a Google search for September 23rd, 2017, you can see it up here at the top. And you get images and you get all of these things and people talking about Apocalypse Now, signs of the end, the great sign of 2017, watch for the day, Quaker Man, I don't know what that is. Rosh Hashanah, signs in the heaven, woman clothed with the sun. What? Revelation 12 sign tells us. All of this is going on here, and people just, and here's some searches related. You can see what people are searching for. So I looked on the images. Those were interesting, and here's what we have. This one is once in 7,000 years, 23rd September 2017. What they're trying to say here is that once in 7,000 years, this event happens. Really? Does that mean that this happened 7,000 years ago? I don't think so. So because these people think they believe in the Bible, but they don't have a clue. Because what is the year from creation? It's about 5960 something from creation. You know, just push the little search button on my page and type in what year is it, and you can follow that. Also, an addendum in my latest book. I added as an addendum, put better graphics in, too, because I thought, well, people that don't have my other books, they need to know this to give them an idea of where we are in history. And then, you know, once you know that, you ain't gonna fall for this nonsense once in 7,000 years ago. You know, it's like 1,000-plus years before God created the heavens and the earth, this alignment took place. What nonsense, you know? People just have to make this stuff up. Okay? Maybe hypothetically, if you could go back 7,000 years before God created the heavens and the earth, and everything worked in the cycle, then it's whatever. It's nonsense anyway. But anyway, they're going off this Revelation 12 1 and 2 verse here. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. Okay, and so they have Virgo, the virgin, right? Clothed with the sun, right? And the moon under her feet, and you see the moon over here under her feet, right? And upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And they have Leo on her head, plus Venus, Mars, Mercury, and Regulus, which adds up to 12 stars on her head. Well, forget all the other stars that are out there, but anyway, this is the constellations that people have made up. And so they have all of this. And 42 weeks, and they've got all this other stuff in here. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. So you can see why I kind of chuckled this. People are really serious about this. And they believe, somehow, they believe that the rapture is going to happen, or that somehow this prophecy is tied to the rapture. So let's look at some of these other things that people are throwing out there. The covenant of deception. It says here, as I watched, the Lamb broke the first of the seven seals of the scroll, and I looked, and before me was a white horse, and its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown and rode out as a conqueror, bent on conquest. Now, if we read the last prophecy, we know that this is nonsense. This has nothing to do with the Revelation 12 prophecy. Anyway, we'll continue on this when we come back. You're listening to Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition, and we'll continue talking about September 23rd, 2017 in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now. Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality News Edition. And we're talking about the September 23rd, 2017 phenomena. And we're looking at some of the things that people are coming up with. And the covenant of deception. And this is what they believe is going to happen. And some of these people just really don't have a clue. Like this guy who put this out here about it. The covenant of deception. And he has here, of course, he has the first horseman of the apocalypse, which has nothing to do with the return of Christ or the Antichrist. And like I said, if this guy had read this book, he wouldn't be, he's got down here at the bottom, he says, Revelation explain. He doesn't have a clue about the book of Revelation. He says, he will confirm a covenant with many for 1:7, and he's referring to Daniel 9:27 here, and he goes, in the midst of the week, mid-trib abomination here. And he doesn't have a clue, because if he had a clue, he would know that the 70th week followed the 69th week, and that it was Jesus who put an end to the sacrifice and oblation by the sacrifice of himself 3.5 years after he showed up on the scene, in the midst of the week, by the sacrifice of himself. And as I always say, if you don't understand that, and you don't even know, you don't have no understanding of the gospel whatsoever, if you don't understand that Jesus put an end to the sacrifice and oblation by the sacrifice of himself, and he did it not for himself, but for the people in the midst of the week, in the 70th week. And let's look at our next thing here. And this is what people are saying, is September 27th, sign of the woman. So I put this graphic out there, travail in the world, and then the sign of the dragon. If you really want to know about chapter 12, get this book. And I read this entire book on YouTube. And you can go to my website, just put in The Last Prophecy, Horror Apocalyptica 2015. I think I have that easily accessible for you. On my Bible studies page, let me look there and see if I got it. Let's see, Matthew to Revelation. Oh, there it is right there, study pages. Revelation, Horror Apocalyptica 2015. So go to my study pages there, and I'm going to add some more to this list here, but I'm kind of working on it, trying to make it better. But there it is, and then you can go through the entire thing with me. I'll read it to you if you're busy with your hands and you have repetitive work to do, and you can listen to something while you're working. You can listen to the entire book, so you don't even have to get the ebook and read it. You can just the playlist is there, and it'll play for you. Just follow that link, and it'll take you to this page here, which has the playlist on it. So take advantage of that. Okay, let's go back to this guy's timeline. And travail in the world, September 23rd, 2017, when this alignment happens. And this is, I believe, that's the alignment there. And sign of the dragon, world government. Well, you know, if you read the Bible, there's not going to be... We're in the time of the ten toes mingled with, you know, of iron mingled with clay. There's not going to be any one cohesive world government. And that should be comforting to you. And we'll move into why you should be perhaps comforted, especially if you're in the North American continent, okay? 1260 days, Satan falls, and this is supposed to be the seven-year tribulation. And so he has he has 1260 days, Satan falls in the middle of it. I don't get that. What, falls to earth or comes down and sits in the temple showing himself that he is God? You know, the Ribera is Antichrist, the end time Antichrist of Ribera, and left behind rapture eschatology. And then there's 3.5 years of persecution. Well, I don't know why there's going to be persecution. All of the Christians are supposed to be raptured here at the beginning of the tribulation. Who are they going to persecute? The Holy Spirit's gone. There's no Christians. Who's going to come to Christ? Nobody. their eschatology doesn't make any sense. And then it says, Jesus returns around 2030. So in 2030 minus, so that's about 2023. And so it's 2017 is where it begins, so you add 7 years. 2024, so even 2024, 23 is when the rapture is going to happen, according to this guy's timeline. Most other people are saying that the rapture is actually going to happen right here. This guy just puts it out 7 years. And this is all just made up stuff based upon someone's imagination. You know, well did God speak through Isaiah that, you know, these prophets, building the wall of false prophecies, they speak out of their own hearts, and God says they've heard nothing from me. Yeah. That's these guys here. And here's the Stellarium. And if you put in Earth, Jerusalem, and you put in the date 2017, 9/22/21, so 9/22/23, you'll get this alignment that is depicted in this picture here. Okay. This is also from Stellarium too, this picture, because you can turn on the constellation. Someone just tied it all together and put all of this numbering and stuff and put once in 7,000 years here. So it's, you know, it's an interesting phenomenon to have this alignment, but sorry. You know, does it mean anything? I don't know, but it certainly doesn't mean what these people say that it means. Rick Wiles might get excited about it because he's all, you know, Rick Wiles of True News, gets all excited about cycles. Cycles this, cycles that. He loves cycles. And, but I love the Word of God and I love prophecy and I love the gospel. And so that's really what I'm into. I don't care about cycles and I don't care about astronomy very much. I'm not gonna, you know, and I don't care about most dreams that most people have. You know, sometimes they're interesting. But I always go back to the Word of God. That's my rock. That's the rock on which I stand is the Word of God. And I hope it's the rock on which you stand also. So, September 23rd, 2017. And so if the world, if the powers that be are going to use this as a kickoff thing because people are running with it and people are so superstitious to believe, first they believe you got most of the Catholic and evangelical world believing in the false prophecy of Ribera, which has been built upon by more Jesuit coadjutors, people who lend a hand and help develop the counter-reformation end-time eschatological scheme to take the onus off of the Antichrist. And I write about a lot of these things in my book, When the Third Temple is Built. Okay, so you're going to want to get that, When the Third Temple is Built. And it'll get you up to speed on what to expect if September 23rd, 2017, or 7 years later after that, according to the other guy, it is supposed to be a kickoff date for this thing. And I can't tell you what the date will be. And I speculate and run down a scenario, 2020 in my book, but I tell you it's just speculation. What you can expect to happen when they start to build this temple. So, you're going to want to get that book here. And I got a photo here. Just wanted to let you know what was in the book. Kind of going to do a little teaser here or a trailer for the book. And I have my author's prologue here. Most of the evangelical and Christian world today believes that the coming of Christ is imminent and that they will be raptured away before all of the calamity of the entire book of Revelation ensues during the very last 7 or 3.5 years of this era, a period of great tribulation unlike any other in the history of the world. And you know, that's what they believe. They believe that all of the calamity. You got the entire book of Revelation. You got floods, earthquakes, plagues, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. You got all of the thunders and earthquakes and the vials and everything throughout the whole book of Revelation. All of the calamity of the entire book of Revelation is supposed to ensue during the very last 7 or 3.5 years of this era. And you know what? If you believe this, and I believed it at one time, and someone was selling you a ticket, you know, to escape the worst period of time unlike any other in the history of mankind, if you actually believe, you would be going, wow, can I get away from this? Is there somehow that I don't have to go through this? Doesn't God love me enough to allow moi to escape? And they go, oh yeah, he does. It's called the rapture, and I'm selling tickets, baby. And my name is the late great Planet Earth, or my name is Left Behind Books, and all of these things that they're selling, these are all your ticket out of the greatest calamitous, most calamitous time in the history of the world, great tribulation unlike any other in the history of the entire world, and certainly God wants you to escape from it. Right? Wrong. Because this is all a lie. It's not going to happen like that. And I outlined that in my several books, of course. The last one I wrote, actually these books are companion. These two books that I've written are companion books. And you should have them both. There's very little repetition. And I mean very little repetition from one book to the other. You should have both of these. I tried not to repeat because most of what's in here is not repeated. The only thing that I repeat is I add as an addendum, and that is what year is it, with a little better graphics. So actually, there was a good reason to add it in there as an addendum. So, my latest book, both of these books you should have. These are, like I said, these are companion books on tearing down the rapture fallacy and setting it straight, okay? And that's what I'm showing you here. And this is the prologue of the book here. As the world around us shapes to confirm that we are indeed in the time of the very end, many are beginning to look deeper into the Bible, and more specifically, the prophetic passages of Jesus, the epistles, and the Revelation. This has caused many to lay down the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine, because of the shaky ground on which it is founded. And you know, it's common sense. People start reading the Bible for themselves. They go, this isn't really in there. There's no 7-year tribulation. I can't make Daniel 9:27 say what they're saying. And you know, in my book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled, I tore it to pieces. The 7-year tribulation, rapture, and the whole escapist mentality. And I'll tell you what, in my latest book, like I said, I say they're companion books. You should have both of them in your library. And there's a special deal on the Get the Book page if you want to get both of them. So to get both books, there's a special deal you can take advantage of there. And I rip it to shreds, and I put, you know, I nail the coffin shut and bury it 6 feet under. After you get done reading, when the temple is built, you'll be done with rapture doctrine and rapture eschatology and the 7-year tribulation. You'll be done with it completely, you know, unless you want to ignore what the Bible actually says. So, like I said, get both of those books and, you know, it'll be done, buried, the coffin will be nailed completely, and you wouldn't be able to get it open with the best crowbar in the world, and it'll be 6 feet under. It'll be dead and buried. That's what it'll be. So, and so I say, this has caused many to lay down the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine because of the shaky ground on which it is founded, and go beyond laying down the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine, laying down the whole 7-year tribulation We are in the tribulations of the days immediately preceding the return of Christ. I believe in that, but nowhere is it delineated as a seven-year period. Okay, that's made up out of whole cloth by those coadjutors to the Jesuit Ribera's thesis of the end-time Antichrist. Because, of course, it couldn't be the seat of the papacy. And that was the whole idea of coming up with that counter-reformation eschatological scheme in the first place. I say I am one of those people. 20 years ago, I wholly rejected the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine. And they know that's where we all start. Well, I have to reject that because you start reading the Bible for yourself instead of just had some guy, comment on one of my videos today. He says, oh, well, it's in the Bible and the rapture's in the Bible. And I said, well, and he names a bunch of verses. And so I comment back to him. I answer him with a reply and I say, the rapture is not in the Bible. Those verses are about the resurrection. He comes back and he goes, oh no, it's rapture may not be in the Bible in English, but, the Bible wasn't written in English. It was written in Greek and it is there in the Greek. And I'm going, this guy is really brainwashed because it's not even in the Greek. So I explained that it's not in the Greek, but it's from the Latin Vulgate that they get the word rapture and that I'm a Protestant, so I'm not a Catholic. And even Catholics don't believe in the rapture because it's part of the millenarian heresy. That's their doctrine. So, even though they developed it and with the help of their coadjutors developed it into what it is now, pre-tribulation rapture, the whole end-time eschatology built upon Ribera's end-time Antichrist. But they don't even believe it themselves, and they started it. And you got to ask yourself, why would the Catholics, why would the Jesuit Ribera start this? Why would they propagate something they don't even believe in? Well, I'll tell you why. Because when false prophecy doesn't play out, it's going to drive people to them, because they're going to be sitting there twiddling their thumbs, going, "Say, hey, we told you that was a lot of nonsense. We were right all along. Jesus ain't returning. We're supposed to build God's kingdom on earth." And see, the Pope, he is the vicar of Christ. That's the purpose, is to drive you to the true Antichrist and believe that he is the vicar of Christ, the representation of God on earth. And that's right where the deceiver wants you to go. And that's the great deception, man. That's the seven-year tribulation, post-rapture deception, man. It's all a deception. And I'll clarify that. Like I said, get those two books, especially my last one. But both of them, if you really want to bone up on the whole rapture thing, get the rapture will be canceled and when the temple is built. Get them both. That special deal on my page there at crosstheborder.org at the Get the Book page. You'll see it there. Okay, so I say, well, I'm one of those people. 20 years ago, I wholly rejected the pre-tribulation rapture. But about 12 years ago, I set out to understand as completely as any man can what the true meaning and interpretation of God's prophetic word really is. What I found out is that the deception and error goes much deeper than one would think upon entering this sojourn. So please take a break. Let go and seriously consider the things that I expose in this continued investigation into the false, as well as the unknown or forgotten interpretations of Bible prophecy. See, I believe that God's Holy Spirit has always been available and that a true interpretation has always been available as prophecy. So something new or that's only popped up in the last 100 or so years that wasn't available before. Oh no, see, God's Holy Spirit has always been available to give a true interpretation of prophecy. And so we want to look into the forgotten, right? the forgotten. Yes, a continued investigation into the false, that is dealing with the false, the counter-reformation eschatology that has developed over the last couple hundred years, as well as the unknown or forgotten. It's unknown because it was forgotten by our fathers, by the church. They forgot what it is to be a Protestant, and now they call themselves, well, we're just evangelicals. Yes, we're evangelical ecumenicals. And they're joining the with the great whore that rides the beast. Okay. And this book is by no means a complete expose of Bible prophecy, but merely a teaser, an appetizer to induce you to look where the mainstream Christian world is not looking. May the Almighty bless you as you seek His, seek a Holy Spirit interpretation of His prophetic passages. So, well, welcome to the chat room, Jeremy, Andrew, and WW, my three faithful listeners. Yeah, I'm sure there's a few more people listening live on the audio stream or whatever, maybe over on YouTube. So I want to thank the few people that are showing up. And I want you to know this is an open line broadcast, so if you want to call in, the number's in the chat room or on the first page of firstamendmentradio.com, and you can call in and I'll take you right on the air. Or you can call in any time, day or night. And I got a few calls today. One guy, Dan from Maryland, called me, and I was able to pray with him and give him a little counsel on a difficult situation he's in there. So hold Dan up in prayer if you're a prayer warrior out there. And let's see who else called me. I think it was Matthew from Canada called me. Had a nice conversation with Matthew. So thank people for calling me throughout the day. And, you know, that phone number, I now have an app on my smartphone so I can answer that phone number all day long. And unless I'm doing something where I can't answer. But I will get back to you because I now got that all set up so I can take care of that. And if anyone wants prayer at any time or clarification of whatever or just needs to talk to someone, it does me good to talk to you. So I'm glad to be your brother in Christ if you have no one else. And I know what it's like to have no one else, you know, because I'm here at my ranch. At Hallelujah Ranch, that's what I call my ranch. It's Hallelujah Ranch, and James has gone to New York. He says he's going to minister to his family and seek ministry there, and I'm all for it. So I'm praying for him and hope that he's doing what I believe that he will do and what the Lord leads him to do. But everyone's abandoned me, so it's good if someone calls me or contacts me throughout the day. And a little fellowship is always appreciated. Okay, we're going to go on a break. We'll be back after some news. Don't go anywhere.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer America in the Revelation, the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the left-behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. And today we've been talking about, well, September 23rd, 2017. Supposed to be a big sign in the sky. And the rapture is supposed to ensue. Of course, we all know that while they may start to build the temple, because all of these things have to happen at the same time, or that's the kickoff point, really, because how can you have the Antichrist enter the temple or stop the sacrifice in the middle of the week if they don't start building the temple at the beginning of the week? So they have to have their seven-year tribulation deception. And nobody's going to be raptured, so they're all going to neatly move to the mid-tribulation position, because the Antichrist, as much as they love to develop their counter-reformation eschatology with all their coadjutors that have come along and built upon the foundation laid by the Jesuit Ribera and his end-time Antichrist hypotheses, of course, to deflect the reality to the Protestant believer of history that the papacy was the seat of the Antichrist, and the Catholic Church was the apostate persecuting power spoken of in the Revelation. And the papacy, the seat of the papacy, was the seat of the man of sin. So, of course, with Counter-Reformation eschatology, they had to deflect it somehow. And that was the best story they could come up with. And then people came along and built upon it to what we have now, what I call left behind rapture, 7-year tribulation deception eschatology. So, yeah, it's quite a mouthful, isn't it? Okay, and I have written a book, and I can put that cover on the page here. Get it here and somewhere over here. Yes. Working all these things by myself. I'm my own producer. Be my producer. If I had one, you would have to do all these things for me. But anyway, this is the new book, When the Third Temple is Built. That's the picture of the cover there. And, oops, I didn't mean to click on it, but I did. Anyway, so you can get that book. I also have you can get both. The special deals to get both. Postpaid, $30. So that's kind of a special deal to get both of them sent to you for $30. Both of these. And like I said, they're companion works. Okay? They go together. One is not a repetition of the other. And so hopefully you'll enjoy both of those. And you can get them both free if you don't have money or whatever. You're happy with an ebook. Or if you enjoy reading EPUBs on your tablets. I had a tablet. It already died on me, so I haven't got another one. Besides, I never could get into reading on a tablet that well. I do a lot of reading on the screen, but at night, in the evening, I like to sit by the lamp and read, you know, late into the night. So I have a lot of actual printed books that I read. And I even read some of my own publications, like as you can see here, The Horror Apocalyptic A 2050. I've got tabs in here, because I could sit there at night and mark things up and put bookmarks in, and because I'm still learning from E.B. Eliot. I also have the 4-volume set of The Last Prophecy. It's over in my cabinet over there. You know, the big ones? Yeah. So you can get those too from our publishing company. But I think if you click on that one, oh here, there's the cover of the book for you. So you make sure you want to get that. That's what we're going to talk a little bit more about. Unless anyone's in the chat room and they have anything that they want to talk about or call in or whatever. We still have the same, victory came in and victory left. So we've got the same three people. Jeremy, thank you for showing up, Jeremy. Jeremy says, I prefer later at night because he's working in the morning. And I forget where you're from, Jeremy. I don't keep all of that. Anyway, so I got one vote to stay at night. And okay, so now what you have to do is you have to get more people. You have to tell more people in your circle of friends to join us late at night. So we've got to fill this chat. Appleton, Wisconsin, right? And I don't know what happened to our friend Mike from Michigan or Mike from somewhere. Forget. Yeah. And a few other people that have been showing up regularly that aren't here tonight. Andrew's from Idaho. Jeremy from Wisconsin. Oh, yes, the cold. I'm from Michigan, so I know what the weather's like over there in Wisconsin. Kind of the same in Michigan. Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Oh, I love it up there. I've spent weeks up there in Idaho in the panhandle there. Oh, I just fell in love with the place. Actually wanted to move there a few years ago. And if I was going to move, if God wanted to move me, I'd go to Idaho or right around that panhandle area there. Just fell in love with it. I don't blame you for being there. So you're in Coeur d'Alene. Andrew, stop by the church there. What's the name of that church? Just look up Pastor. What's his guy's name? Boy, oh boy, Warren Campbell, the pastor there. Warren Campbell, good friend of mine. And he's an unincorporated church there in Coeur d'Alene. You got one? So if I was living near Coeur d'Alene, I'd be going to church there. He used to be my pastor here, Andrew. So I hope that you got a church there you can go to and say hi to him for me, Pastor Warren Campbell. And tell him how much I miss them all and I miss the church at Kaweah, because now it's the church at Coeur d'Alene. So, yeah, you definitely want to go to check it out anyway. So drop in at least if you're already going to church. At least drop by and visit and tell them I said hi. Yeah, thank you for that, Andrew. I'd appreciate that. And if you don't have a home church, well, maybe you'll find one there. Warren Campbell is an excellent Bible teacher, okay? I don't know where he stands in prophecy, but, you know, maybe we can get him to... I know that on October 31st, they celebrate Reformation Day. So, you know, at least the page is close, if you know what I mean. So definitely drop in and say hi to Warren Campbell for me and all the fine people there. Okay, like I said, I miss them all. I wish the church was still here, but hey... And if I was going to move, I'd be there. Oh, yes, indeed. What can I say? Okay, so anyway, we're going to discuss my latest book. And let's see. Oh, Lordship Church of Coeur d'Alene held its first service. Warren Lou Campbell and his father, right. Yes, and his father is Warren. Warren Campbell. And Warren Lucas, his son, good young man, just really fine people. I can't give you a better recommendation than what I've said already. So anyway, we're going to talk about it. When the third temple is built, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the book because I want people to watch the video and I think, we need to get this book out there. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I would not have wrote it, and I don't think that the Holy Spirit would have moved me to write it. So anyway, we're looking at, let's look at the table of contents there. So we read the author's prologue of chapter 1 from the beginning. We talk about the sacrifice and why it is important for the Jewish people, why they want to build this temple so bad. What is the sacrifice about? And of course, we do it from a Christian perspective because I am a Christian, right? And then we talk about how the sacrifice begins, the history of the sacrifice. And then we go into why the Jews and what their plan is for building the temple. Okay? So maybe I should just move up to that. So we talk about building of the temple. We talk about the Temple Institute established in 1987, and we go on and talk all about that, the Temple Institute. Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? And we talk about the God's Holy Mountain vision. And so you want to, and this is part of the movement to build the temple on the Temple Mount. Is it necessary for the sacrifice to take the place in the temple on the Temple Mount? And the reason we talk about that is because they want to put an end to the sacrifice in the midst of the week so they can carry out their just 7-year tribulation deception. When the third temple is built, the rapture play will begin. And I believe they're going to play this play out completely, that this is, kind of like Satan's scheme. And so we go out, how can they plan and how can they put an end to the sacrifice? Well, I believe that if they just put an end to the plan for the sacrifice, if they renegotiate so that the sacrifice can't take place, so that this Antichrist who brings this treaty, and so I outlined how this will play out in the book, because nobody's going to step up and go in the temple. And what I believe is that God is the one who destroyed the temple both times, the first and the second Jewish temple. And the first time, because of the abomination of the nation, he said that he wielded Babylon as a sword in his hand, a sword of judgment. And since judgment begins in the house of God, he judged Israel first, and he used the Babylonians to do it. And then he judged all of the nations around Israel. I talk about this in my other book a little bit. The rapture will be canceled. Get into that history. And I build more upon that. And that's why I say these two books are companion books, because one builds on top of the other. It's not a duplication. So you want to read both of these books. And we get into it. And so we talk about that. The script requires or assumes that an animal sacrifice will be a part and parcel of the agreement when it begins, but must become a controversy to be renegotiated and done away with at the midway point of the 7-year period. Thus, the identified Antichrist will effectively put an end to the sacrifice and oblation in the midst of the week by this renegotiation, whether a sacrifice is actually ever commenced or not. That's my hypothesis going forward. And chapter 2, learning the lines. So we learn about the 7-year tribulation. How did this come about? What is this belief built upon? So that we can understand what people are expecting and how we can expect this play to take place and what we can expect to happen throughout the unfolding of this false prophecy. So we tear it apart, and I tear down the 7-year tribulation deception completely. And I tear down completely. I mean, I thought I did a good job in my first book, but I nail the coffin shut and I bury it 6 feet under, and it's rotten to the core. You can't even dig it up after I get done burying it here because it's completely gone. And so you're going to want to understand this, the 7-year tribulation built upon Daniel's 70th week and what feeble and faulty ground it is built upon. We even talk about the, moving on here, we even tear down the version confusion and how completely faulty the new translation is, in its feeble attempt to build it up. Because it was faulty. I mean, you couldn't stand on the King James or sound interpretation, so they had to reinterpret it and reword it. So, and it's just awful. It's terrible. So we tear it down completely, using their, false translation and their new reworded translation. And I say that it's, that is the Jesuit fingerprint on the new translations. So we go into the final edit. So, you know, before the play begins, you have a final edit. We have to find out who's going to sit in the leading role. And we talk about that a little bit. And how the Sanhedrin asked Putin and Trump to build the third temple in Jerusalem. So this is an up-to-date, right up-to-date on prophecy. And where we stand in time here. So we say, let the show begin. And talk about how the play is ready. So once the play is ready and all the players are picked and everyone's learned their lines and we understand how the play is going to play out, then we go into a hypothesize, a fictional account of how it may play out. So you want to check that out too. What will happen throughout this 7-year period when no one is raptured, not at the beginning, not in the middle, and not at the end, because all of the raptures are false, and rapture does not equal resurrection. The resurrection is true, and the raptures are all false and based upon false prophecy. Okay, any comments, phone calls? Be nice if someone called in. Let's see, Jeremy, Andrew, WW, and Victory. I have to say, Victory in the chat room is talking about Trump and how, I don't know, I'm kind of hopeful with Trump in there. I'm just so glad that this Obama character is gone and the queen from hell, Hillary, Queen Hillary didn't, I just dreaded that so much. And, I think I can actually pray for Trump because I think that maybe, and I felt this before that he might be, and others have said the same thing, that he may be a reprieve for us and, that there's some hope for America. That maybe we have a chance for revival here. So I say pray for Trump, that he has the right influences to do the right things here. But I also see that there's some Zionist leaning there, so that I think this whole temple thing is going to play out, and that it seems like it's going to be a reality. But yes, pray for Trump. Agree. And the Supreme Court. Oh God, you know it's too bad. We got a Catholic majority in the Supreme Court right now, and I mean, can we ever get a Protestant in there? I mean, what do we got? We got Catholics and Jews, and I don't know what the others are, if there are any others. But it's pretty much, it's pretty much the Vatican has its Supreme Court in there. And Trump, I don't know if he's in line. The Pope didn't like Trump at all because he's a wall builder. If we build a wall, it's going to stop his Catholics from continuing to invade, you know, Latin American invasion, because it's all planned by, you know, the Antichrist and the papacy, because you know, they really do. The whore is riding the beast. You know, if you go, and that's what I learned. That's why you want to get this book And whether you get it free or buy it, I say buy it. You want this book as a reference work. But understanding the key of the apocalypse is the three phases of the Roman beast. And we're in the phase where the whore is riding the beast right now. Yeah, that's right. The whore is riding the beast. See, before it was the 10 crowns were placed upon the 10 horns, and the Roman, and there was the little horn rose up, and so it was controlling through the crowns, which it placed on the horns. And so now it's just the whore is riding the beast right now. Okay? And so it's controlling the Roman Empire. It's in full control. And it's, you know, it was and is not yet is. I mean, it's kind of like a mystery. Nobody can see what's really going on. But the whore is fully in control and riding the beast. And that is the final phase of the Roman beast being ridden and controlled by the whore that rides the beast. Of course, we know that the 10 horns are going to turn on the whore before the end and destroy her. And Victory says Trump is a Catholic, FYI. Well, I'm not sure of that. Okay? See, someone says, WW says, 5 Catholic, 3 Jews, 1 atheist. And one is not, and one is needs to be appointed yet by Trump. And hopefully he won't appoint a Catholic. That I'm not sure that it matters much at this point, since they all serve the papacy. You know, you have the papal court Jews, and that's what I consider the 2 or 3 Jews, the 3 Jews. So we have 5 Catholics and 3 Jews. Oh my. Yes, papal court Jews, I would say. And 1 atheist? I don't know who the atheist is. So which is the one that just died and hasn't been replaced yet? I forget. Not important anyway. Okay. Is Trump a Catholic? Well, no, he's supposed to be Episcopal or something, but we know that Trump is not really a Christian. And I guess if you're not a Protestant, then you're really a Catholic, no matter what you call yourself. Whether you call yourself a Buddhist or whatever, it says, you know, if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you serve the beast and you worship the beast. So it really doesn't matter what you call yourself. Okay? But still, you know, that's why I say pray for Trump that, you know, that, who knows? He could be saved. He could be really seeking God. He could really feel like he's been called of God for the days that we're in. And so I say, let's see what the man does. You know, so far it's looking good. And, I can't expect him to get it all right, but, you know, maybe he can get it mostly right. He has a son-in-law who is a, what do you call it? A Jewish, what do they call him? Not a fundamental, whatever they call him when they're Jews. And, who's really interested probably in getting that temple built. But I'm not sure that, Trump is a full-blown Catholic, because I'm pretty sure that he isn't. He's supposed to be Episcopal, so. Anyway, you can check that out. Googling Trump Catholic. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border. Getting late over there on the East Coast, in the Midwest and Wisconsin and some places that in Florida where some of my listeners are. I'm always up until midnight myself, which is only 9:30 here. So anyway, thank you for sticking it out with me. And I only got one vote for keeping the show at night, so I'll stick it out for a while longer and see if more people show up. But it doesn't look like more people are going to show up at night. I had more people listening during the day, so that's the way that works. And if you're not calling in, I guess, yeah, what's the point? Okay, anyway, we're talking about what's going to happen. And with Trump, we definitely should pray for Trump. One president I'm kind of excited about praying for. I feel hopeful. You know, you pray for Obama, you just pray for it to end. Oh, my God, help us, please. And so I believe that God has answered our prayers and given us a man that is at least halfway decent. You know, but I have no illusions about him. But I know that there's hope for anyone, and there's hope for someone who's doing the things that Donald Trump is doing now that he is actually in office, and the people that he's appointing makes me hopeful. I mean, it's hopeful for homeschooling. It's hopeful for he's going to stop funding abortion and all this stuff all over the world, and going to stop a lot of this nonsense that's going on, is America First policy. Why should we be paying for abortions all over the world? You know, isn't it enough? Don't we have enough death on our own doorstep? Okay, WW says, daughter, I covered that last week. His son, who he's appointed to head the negotiations in the Mideast, yeah, who is an Orthodox Jew, his daughter, Ivanka, or however you say Ivana, converted to Orthodox Judaism for her husband, and you know, for her marriage or whatever. So, you know, I see something is going to happen there with the building of this temple thing. And like I said, I covered that in my book a little bit about what is being expected by the Orthodox Jews there. And that's the word, that's lost the word Orthodox. So those Orthodox Jews are expecting something to happen because you have two, you know, major nations, Russia and America, both pro-Israel and pro-having the temple built and all that stuff. So it's likely that we're going to see something happen there. And something happened soon. So we talked about that last week. So if you didn't see last week's show, make sure you check that out on my YouTube page or just scroll down on my home page there and you'll see it. I do think you would get more callers during the day. Yes, I agree. I'm probably going to have to do something about that. At WW, I think I might have to do that. Go back to during the day. Indeed. But I don't know. If Trump gets his way, a lot of people are going to have jobs and be able to go back to work and get paid money. Yeah. Okay, well, what else can we talk about? Well, let's see. We can pick up a little bit more on my book thing here. Get a little more in depth on this book. Chapter 4, The Stage is Set. We consider a possible chain of events, understanding the reality that most of the modern church has been purposely deluded into believing a false interpretation of Bible prophecy. Now that we understand why the script has been written, and that's why you read these books, and that's what I try to help people to understand why the script has been written and accepted by the audience, we need only await the opening act of the play about to begin. Remember the name of the book is When the Third Temple is Built, the Rapture Play Will Begin. And believe me, the play will begin. And you're going to see it. I write all about the play in my book, so I hope you'll enjoy that. Please realize that our previous chapter only recounts a guideline or prospect of what may happen. Things will in all likeliness play out somewhat differently. And just as we have thus speculated, I write here, we must understand that the entire 7-year Great Tribulation predictions, the deception, are also little more than speculation, but based upon assumptions, which are based upon more assumptions and conjecture, rather than what is explicitly stated in Bible prophecy. And that's why. So what is left? And what does prophecy really line out for our future? What does it explicitly express? God has given us prophecy in His Word and surely is not the author of confusion. So there must be some accepted method of interpretation demonstrated in that Word. There is. And that's why I recommend this book here. Okay? The Key to the Apocalypse. And Hori Apocalypticae, this is the abridgment of E.B. Eliot's Hori Apocalypticae. And that way, this is about 250 pages, the abridgment. 250 pages, the abridgment of a 2,500-page work that E.B. Eliot did. Exhaustive work. So, and most people have a hard time just going through the abridgment. Like I said, you can get this. You can get an e-copy of this free. And actually, it's only 25 pages about. So it's not even much longer than 200 pages. And like I said, you can go to my Bible study tab on my website, and I will even read it to you there. I got a YouTube playlist, so you just look for it. Hori Apocalypticae 2015. Last prophecy tab there, and you can listen to it while you're doing your other work, and I will read it to you on a YouTube playlist there. So make sure you take advantage of it if you want to know what does prophecy really say. And I go into some an overview of what you can expect from here on out. And so, and it's not all of the calamity of the entire book of Revelation, like the left behind rapture eschatology has led you, has misled you into believing that every calamity, every earthquake, every plague, every horseman of the apocalypse, every bull of every terrible thing that is in the entire book of Revelation is going to play out during a 3.5 or 7 year period. Nope. Not going to happen. We are going to go through the entire 7 year tribulation deception when they start building the temple, and nobody's going to be raptured at the beginning, in the middle, or the end. And all of that calamity is not going to happen. What you're going to have is the regular calamity that always goes on anyway, that has been going on for 2,000 years. All of that calamity that they tell you that is going to happen in 3.5 or 7 years has been unfolding over the last 1,900 years since John wrote the Apocalypse or the Book of Revelation. And he said, and he was told that these things would shortly come to pass. That means they would start unfolding immediately. And that they would unfold over the period until Christ returns. And that's what this book is all about. It gives you history unfolded in prophecy in 30 lectures, 220 pages, the abridgment of E.B. Eliot's great work, the Hori Apocalypticae, the most exhaustive work ever done on the Revelation. And right here is the abridgment and overview of it, that you can actually read and understand, and for the first time in your life, the book of Revelation may make sense. And if that's not enough, get the key to the Apocalypse so that you can understand. I mean, when I found this, because I was beginning to understand these things, but this helped to clarify it so much, the key to the Apocalypse, that it gave me the answers I was looking for so I could finish the book that I was writing. And that book, the name of that book is, When the Third Temple is Built, the Rapture Play Will Begin. So, you want to get that. Let's jump back into it and let's do a little more overview on it. So, we talk about the New Testament Temple, and I gave you a preview of this last year. Of the New Testament Temple section. This absolutely tears down the whole idea of the 2 Thessalonians 2:4 restrainer doctrine of the futurists. I nail the coffin on shut on that one and bury it 6 feet deep. It ain't even coming up ever again. Once you read this chapter, or you could read the article that I posted, because I posted this, like I said, last year, as a preview of the book, what you could expect. So there's several previews there that I've given you of this book. And it nails the coffin shut. Gives you sound doctrine, sound interpretation. So if you love sound doctrine and sound interpretation of the Bible, once you read this, you're going to go, oh, yeah, that's right. It can't be the Holy Spirit. It is the temple of God, is the church. And as I put it here, when the same author, when Paul proposes by the Holy Spirit writing through him, the man of sin who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, several questions must be asked. One, is God through Paul? Remember, this was written when? Before the temple was even torn down. Is God through Paul referring to the soon-to-be-destroyed temple that was standing in Jerusalem when he penned these words in the first century? Obviously not. Is he referring to a yet-to-be-built future temple without explicitly stating that it will be built again after it's destroyed? Expecting us to assume that's what he means? I mean, it's just the absurdity of what they expect us to believe? Or does Paul expect us to believe that the temple is a reference to that which he has already taught us to understand about the New Testament church being the temple of God, as in the previous references? And here are the references for you. Know you not that you are the temple of God? If any man defile the temple of God, which temple ye are? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of God, and the Holy Ghost which is in you, and you are not your own? So time after time, Paul teaches us that we, the church, we are the temple of God. So when he tells us that the man of sin sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, that means that the man of God is sitting in the church of God and showing himself that he is God. Is that the temple, that we are the temple of God. And this prophecy is about the man of sin taking the place of God in the hearts and minds of men in the visible church on earth, and in context, the very heart of a great apostasy. Because that's what happened when the man of sin truly showed up, when he was supposed to show up, and the great apostate church was born, and the great apostasy ensued. And we go on to even build on that point throughout this chapter here. After the play, what about the resurrection? After the rapture fails, some may wonder whether there is a resurrection that precedes the grave at all. Honestly, for most of history and most of us living at this time, the grave is where we will end up. This has been an undeniable fact of history. However, there will be a few who, while living at the time of Christ's return, who will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. But when will this event occur? Not during the 7-year tribulation deception, but it will happen in God's timing. And that's why I add as an addendum to this book, what year is it, so that we understand the timeline that God has put in the Bible, so that we know about when Christ will return. As God told Israel when Jesus would come the first time, he told them to the year that Jesus would appear on the scene. He gave them a 483-year countdown, 69 weeks of years, from the going forth of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. And Jesus, guess what? He showed up right on time. 483 years later, he showed up for the final and 70th week of that 70 weeks prophecy. Yes, he did. And so I believe that God is revealed to his saints, yes, us, and you can check that out for yourself. It's a posting on my website. What year is it? Go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and put in the search there if it's not in the trending, which it usually is. But if not, just type what year is it in the search box there, and the article will come right up for you. And like I said, it's also an addendum to my latest book. So kind of updated the graphics a little bit, so I tried to make it a little more readable, and corrected a couple errors in the old timeline there, in the old overview chart. So we talk about all these things. And what else do we got? You can see I have a lot to say about these things, because there's the book runs over about 112 pages by the time I'm done with it. So chapter 5, identifying history and prophecy. I try to give an overview from E.V. Eliot and try to pinpoint exactly where we are. We are at the end of the 6 vials. The 7th vial has not been poured out yet. So we're still experiencing the repercussion of the 6th vial. So I outline the 6 vials and when they were poured out and what happened from E.V. Eliot. I include a portion of this work here in this chapter on. What is the name of that chapter? Identifying History and Prophecy, to identify our place in history and prophecy. It's all recent history within the last 300 years to catch up us up to where we are at. And so I go through the entire six vials there. So all of these vials, all of these judgments were already poured out. They're not going to happen in a 6 and 7 or 3.5 year period in the future yet to come when they start building the temple. So we're still under the repercussions of the seventh vial having yet to be poured out. And that would be chapter. So we go filling in the blanks, chapter 6. We talk about the three frogs, the repercussions of that. Contemporary times in the revelation. And chapter 7 includes addendum 2017, which I wrote for this while I was researching and to finish my book here. So it's all there for you. We talk about the earth beast. And this is new information too. It's not something that I'm repeating from this book. It builds upon it. So, like I said, it's a companion work really, and it's using the method that I've learned from the Key to the Apocalypse. So, you definitely want to get that addendum 27, the Earth Beast, and then we talk about the seven kings, and I believe I've gone over that before. And giving everybody a taste of that. And then at chapter 8, going forward in faith. And we talk about how to move forward in these times. And, you know, it's kind of a relief to know that we don't have to endure, since there are no pre-tribulation rapture, and there's not even a post-tribulation rapture, but it's a relief to know that we don't have to endure all of the calamity of the entire book of the Revelation being poured out on, you know, because if you believe that, it's no wonder that you also wanted to believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. Because boy, when I read the late great planet Earth and watched the Left Behind movies and saw that all of this calamity was, oh my goodness, it was just going to be the worst time ever in the history of the world, but it was okay because God had a planned escape. But it's all a fallacy. It's all a lie. It's all to cover up the fact that the papacy is the seat of the Antichrist. That's what it's all about. And you know, once you learn that, you learn who the true Antichrist is, and that this beast, this Roman beast, is present throughout the whole book of Revelation. Especially this book will drive that home, the Key to the Apocalypse. This wow. So it's nice to have these two works. These are companion works for understanding the Revelation. You must have both of these. And for understanding the rapture, you know, this and my latest book are good for that. Those are companion works that you're going to want to get for understanding that. And this book here, The Rapture, these are like companion books about the rapture and contemporary times and dealing with the whole fallacy thing. Because I believe that when they start to build this temple, a lot of people are going to become immediately disillusioned. Because the rapture is not going to happen. I can just guarantee it. It is not going to happen. There is not even a chance of the rapture happening. That's how sure I am, okay, of my understanding of prophecy in the book of Revelation. I guarantee it 100% that when they start to build the temple, there will not be a rapture. There will not be a rapture pre, mid, or post during the 7 year period that ensues when they begin to build the temple. And I'm telling you now, before they start to build the temple, because we are on the verge of it happening. So tell your friends about my book. When the third temple is built, the rapture play will begin. so you can be ready for it. You'll know what to expect, and you can walk in the Spirit instead of being deluded and surprised. Anyway, that's all the time we have. May the Almighty bless you.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.